Welcome to this episode of Weird and Wacky World with Oat, Queeks, and Cha,
the Jabber Guys.
This week, we're going to be talking about idioms.
Idioms, yeah. It's a phrase or a saying that everybody uses, but a lot of times you really don't know where they came from, right?
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, I was looking at the first idiom we're going to do here, and I've got a little bit of a story kind of related to it before we get into the actual idioms. Do you remember that time, Queeks, we were golfing with Cha,
yeah,
and we're on, coming up on the 18th fairway, and it was hot out, right? It was hot, and we didn't bring anything with us to drink, and we were parched.
I remember that.
Yeah, so we're coming up on the 18th fairway. And you know those big sprinklers they have at the golf courses, you know,
yeah.
the huge
hoses. Yeah.
Yeah. So Cha saw that. He's dying of thirst. He screams and he jumps out of the golf cart and goes running down the fairway and puts his lips around the end of the sprinkler and just starts sucking back the water.
Okay, there's a million jokes I want to tell right now, but I'll leave it alone.
Yeah, well, we'll save those till later.
Okay, all right.
You gargle. He's just sucking them back. And if we're looking at him, he seems to be enjoying himself. And then we look over, and there's this old greenskeeper, you know, the guy with, you know, overall jeans and a hat. And he's kind of just leaning on his rake. And he's watching Cha, just watching him. And Cha's there, good. What a good couple minutes just sucking back the water, and the guy's just watching him. Finally, Cha finishes, stands up, wipes his mouth off. The old guy walks over to him slowly. Hey, son, did you enjoy that? And Cha said,
yeah, it was great. That voice sounded like Clint Eastwood, by the way.
Anyway, he asked him, did you enjoy that? And he says, I'm glad because it came out of that swamp over there.
Yeah. And then when he told me that, I went and looked at the swamp. There's pus on the top. There's things moving in it. I thought I was going to die.
Oh, yeah. You must have drank, what, 3 gallons?
I know. And he, you know what? He let me finish. And then he told me.
Yeah, well. You thought you were enjoying yourself. Now, that's one bit of nasty water that you had there. So this first idiom is about nasty water.
Yeah, it's a good lead-in, Oat.
Yeah, the saying is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yeah. What does that mean?
It means to hang on to valuable things when getting rid of unnecessary things. Back in the day, families to conserve the water usage would actually share bathwater.
Also, it was hard to get the hot water because they had to bring all the water in from the river or the well, heat it up, fill up the bathtub.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a pain in the ass. Yeah. So they would all use the same bathwater, right? The guys would go first.
Well, let's hope so.
You do have to go home after this, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the males, the rest of the males in the household would go, and then the women and the babies would go last. Now, by the time the baby got there, water was pretty murky and cloudy.
We're talking pus on the top.
Yeah, well, yeah. Nasty water.
Yeah, you can drink it. I'm proof. It's fine.
Not recommended.
No.
So the idiom came from, you know, when you're throwing out the bathwater, because the water is so cloudy, you didn't want to mistakenly leave the baby in there and not see the baby and throw the baby out with the bathwater.
So what you're actually saying is that probably happened. Has anybody seen Junior?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Right?
I know.
Now, the only way that could happen is if the baby was totally submerged in the bathwater.
Yeah, it's true.
That's pretty messed up in itself. Well, that's a nasty story.
Well, it's an old German proverb. That's what it says here from the...
Well, it's not that old. That's how Mom used to... She told me a story about her and her siblings. They did the same thing. They had a bath once a week, filled up one tub, and used the same water.
Once a week, though, that's, you know, it's a lot more frequent than these guys did.
I still wouldn't want to share the bath water with you guys.
Well, that's true.
Something tells me we did.
Nasty. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, I'd say.
Okay, I'd say so what's the next one? What do you got?
Cat got your tongue.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody's used that, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, when a person's lost for words, they're speechless. They don't know what to say.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So the origin, it says it came from ancient Egypt. So the practice of cutting out the tongues of liars and blasphemers. And then what they would do, they would feed them to cats. Seriously. Feed tongues to cats. Now, why'd they feed them to the cats? Well, Egyptians loved their cats. I mean, the cats were like royalty. They were like magical beings for them.
Purina tongue chow.
Purina, exactly. Did you know that in Egypt, the penalty for killing a cat was death?
Wow.
Really? Yeah, if you killed a cat, you're done. You're toast. Dude,
when I was, I would have been dead by the time I was 9.
I know. Seriously?
You killed cats?
You're a cat killer?
Well, no, I...
Okay.
Just maimed them. Not,
no animals were harmed during the making of this podcast.
No, that's
I'm
true.
Joking.
That's true. But they also said that some of the owners of cats back in Egypt, if their cat died, they would shave off their own eyebrows and then mourn until the eyebrows grew back.
Okay, that's messed up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You must really love your cat. I'm more of a dog person. I don't know about you guys.
Yes, yeah, me too. Okay, there's a. I've got one. Saved by the Bell. So I don't know.
What's it mean? Like, what do we use it for?
Well, I've used it like you know you're
rescued.
You rescued yourself from an unwanted situation. You're saved by the bell.
Yeah, right. It's used a lot in boxing, right?
Boxing, saved by the bell.
You get knocked down and you're saved by the bell.
But is that the origin?
That's not the origin.
And I bet a lot of people think that's the origin.
It's not.
I love the origin.
What's the origin?
I don't know. Let's ask Screech.
Screech from Saved by the Bell.
Screech from Saved by the Bell.
Oh,
I didn't get that at first.
Oat looks at me like, what?
Yeah, I know. It was back in the, 15, 1600s, they buried people, and they hadn't, perfected or even practiced embalming yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd think they were dead, but I'm not dead yet.
I feel happy.
So they'd bury them, and they were burying people alive.
Yeah, it's not good.
So in order to protect against being buried alive, they'd attach a little bell with a string.
You know, you think with the effort they would have, the effort they put into putting the bell in place, just check for a fucking pulse.
I know. I know.
Right?
True.
So anyway, they'd give this person a little string. So if they woke up, they could pull the string and ring the bell, and the grave tender person, whoever
grave tender
who was on duty, would hear the bell and come and dig them up.
Wow.
So you're working night shift.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
All these bells are going off. Okay, let's prioritize. Which bell is ringing the fastest?
No.
And which one has a weak signal to
no,
it?
No, kid. Can you imagine?
Come on.
But this was not, like, uncommon. I mean, there was this one guy who ran into a brick wall when he was riding his bike.
Dumbass.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he ran into a brick
wall.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
So they declared him dead, like, pretty quickly. And they buried the guy. He wasn't dead. Now, the reason they went to dig him up again, he didn't have a bell. The reason they went to dig him up again, because they started to investigate why they bury him so quickly, and found out that his father had taken out an insurance policy on him, and thought, oh good, he's dead, let's bury him. A little too quick. So they went to dig him up. He was still alive. The guy was still alive.
Yikes.
Yeah. So after that, he actually invented what's called the safety coffin or the security coffin, so that wouldn't happen to anybody else. But so he was still alive. I can't remember how many days it was. I think it was 2 days or something. Yeah, wow. 2 days.
That's nasty.
And because he went into almost like hibernation because there was very little oxygen and his body shut down. And
you think?
but he was still alive. So, I mean, that's nasty.
I wonder that if that's why they invented cremation. Like, okay, you know what? If I die, just burn me alive.
Yeah.
Burn
me alive.
Let me see. What would I rather do, suffocate or be burned to death?
I'm in this mode of being buried alive.
No, seriously. Isn't that nasty?
Do you remember that movie, the Ryan Reynolds, Buried? Do you remember? Have you seen that?
Oh, that was, yeah. I can't.
He's buried alive. And he's got his cell phone with him. And the whole movie is him in this coffin trying to get them to come and save him and describe where he is without knowing what his surroundings are.
The whole movie is him in the coffin.
That's right. That's right.
There's two.
No spoilers now. Anybody's seen it? Well, don't give away the ending. But it's great.
They obviously weren't going for a cinematography nomination.
No, although it was pretty.
Actually, it wasn't bad. Oh, there, I don't know how they got the cameraman inside there with them.
There are two movies that make me squeamish. That's one of them.
Yeah.
The second one.
Yeah.
Is The Descent.
Oh.
When that they're squeezing through that little crevice and
it starts to cave in
and it. Oh, yeah.
If you're claustrophobic, do not watch that.
No, no. Those two movies, I've watched them once. I can't watch them again.
Yikes.
Kill Bill.
Well, Kill Bill's another one.
Yeah. Kill Bill.
What's her
name? Volume 2, actually, is when she's buried alive.
What's her name?
Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking, though? All it takes is a disgruntled, like, cemetery guy. You know, you catch him on a bad day, he's not going to give a shit if somebody ringing the bell.
That's what I always screw you.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I hope he's in a good mood.
Exactly.
That's nasty. I don't feel very energetic tonight. Bell? What bell?
I don't even know bell. No, but it wasn't, like, uncommon. This happened all the time.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
So, anyway. So, next one.
Yeah. All right, I've got one.
All right.
Rule of thumb.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
So, a common benchmark, I guess, a point of reference.
Yeah, we all use it for that.
Yeah. So, sure. This, I think that this is back in the 17th century. It was by, started with a judge. His name was Sir Francis Bueller.
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 Bueller. Bueller.
I knew you guys were going to do that.
Well, you have to.
Yeah. Anyways, the judge has a nickname, Judge Thumb.
And why is that?
So he ruled it was permissible for a husband to beat his wife with a stick.
Really?
That's his legacy. Go ahead.
That's it?
You can do it.
Just beat her with a stick.
Beat her with a stick. Well, actually, there was some guidelines. There was some rules, so you did have somewhat of a heart. given that the stick was no longer that, or I mean wider. Sorry. No wider than his thumb.
No longer than his thumb. I'm going to poke you with this until you succumb.
Wider. Okay.
No wider. Yeah. So it can be a long stick as long as it's no wider than your thumb and you can beat your wife with it.
Yeah, then it's okay.
Wow.
Wow.
So he is known as Judge Thumb.
Yeah, that wouldn't go over too well now.
Rule of thumb, yep.
No. Okay, next one. Greg, you got one.
Oh, I love this. Does anybody remember, and there's probably a lot of listeners that don't, but I'm telling you, there was a show called Punch and Judy.
Yeah.
And this idiom is pleased as punch.
And the Punch and Judy goes back way, way back.
Way back. Like, do you remember?
1600.
Has anybody ever said that? I'm pleased as punch, or you're pleased as punch.
Yeah.
Okay, so that comes from that show.
And what does pleased as punch mean from the show? Like, why was Punch
pleased? There were two puppets. Well, there was one puppet in particular called Punch, and the other one was Judy.
Yeah.
But Punch, every puppet show would beat the snot out of somebody and kill one of the characters in this puppet show.
Oh, yeah, he had a big bat.
He had a big, whatever he used, but the bat was a common weapon, and he would just beat the snot out of the other puppet. And the saying came from, it gave Punch a lot of pleasure, and he was pleased as punch.
So he was a happy wife-beating serial killer.
That's correct.
Okay, where it goes.
Okay,
dark.
You know, while you guys are talking about that, I'm just gonna Google that.
Okay,
because that does not.
There's
seem...
actually a YouTube video that shows an old show. It's a British show.
Yeah.
Called Punch and Judy.
Oh, I got it right here.
You got it on YouTube?
Yeah.
Well, it's. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Sorry you guys can't see this, but we'll attach the link to this video.
Yeah, we'll
on our website.
We'll throw it on, we'll throw the link so you can go and listen to this treat. Oh, look at all the little kitties.
Yeah, little kids watching. It's a kid's show, right?
Yeah.
And there's Punch. Punch is, Punch has got a bat and he's already starting to beat up his.
So this looks like the 40s, maybe.
This actually is a reenactment from 1950.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell?
Oh, yes.
What the hell?
Oh, and okay. The beating starts.
I love how now it's panning out to the audience, which is all kids.
I mean,
kids are like 5 years old.
Kids look traumatized.
What the hell? The guy's beating the crap out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, make the madness stop. The kid's crying. Look.
Oh, now Punch has got a rope and he's gonna hang. Look, he's hanging the puppet. Okay, hang it.
This makes Bugs Bunny look tame.
Isn't that Jeffrey Dahmer in the audience?
Jeffrey Dahmer when he was five.
Oh, I can't watch anymore.
I wonder where he got those ideas.
That's nasty.
The kids were all in shock.
Oh yeah,
that's crazy.
For sure, that is disturbing.
No, okay. Well, that pleased is next time you use pleased is punch.
Yeah.
Remember the wife beating serial killer.
That's right.
Okay, so I take us to the next. Now this one isn't actually an idiom, but it's a common kids song. Since we're just talking about kids, this is a common kids song that everybody sings. Now it's called "Ring Around the Rosie."
A pocket full of posies.
Yeah.
Husha.
Yeah, and so we used to say husha, husha.
We all
but the actual words are ashes, ashes.
Well, that's, oh, I didn't know that.
Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Yeah.
So what's that refer to? Well, kids, you know, join hands, sing around, they husha or ashes or husha, whatever you want to say. And then they fall down and laugh, ha, 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 they do it again.
Yep.
You know where it came from?
Where'd it come from?
The Black Death. The bubonic plague.
Wow.
Yes, which came from Asia and the Black Sea. A boat came in from Asia, from the Black Sea, docked in Europe. And the people on the boat, half of them were dead, the other half were sick. And before they could quarantine it, it spread. And it spread throughout Europe, killing 20 million people, which was one-third of the population of Europe at the time.
So they wrote a song about it and handed it out to kids.
Yeah,
good idea.
Not, you know, now kids can sing it. You know, so and they spread it. Spread through the air through rats and tick and flea bites, and "Ring Around the Rosie" comes from little round rashes that were oozing infections on people's bodies, and pocket full of posies. They thought because it smelled so bad, if you carried these posies around in your pockets, it would ward off, the disease, because some kind of herbal remedy or herbal, help.
All right, but then. There's the cure for COVID right there.
There it is.
Posies. Everybody carry around posies.
There's some posies.
Actually, I got some on me right now.
Some posies?
I'm not surprised.
I don't know where they are. So anyway, yeah, pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes. We all fall down dead.
Wow.
So now ashes, ashes comes from the first victims, the first they buried them. Then because there were so many of them, they couldn't do it anymore. They started putting them in pits and burning them. So that's where the ashes, ashes comes from. So next time your kid is singing "Ring Around the Rosie," remember Black Death. That's nasty,
that
isn't it?
That is just a fun story.
What we'll do is I'll put a link on the show notes on our website. If you go to the website, there's a bunch of links to all the things we've been talking about, and it'll give you a little bit more background, some YouTube videos and stuff on some of these. And I put one here for that to give you a little bit more background on the popular kids song "Ring Around the Rosie."
That's great. That's great.
Nice.
All right, the next one we have is "Let the Cat Out of the Bag." You've heard that, right?
Yeah, you mistakenly reveal a secret, or
that's
you
right.
Tell something that you weren't supposed to.
That's right. Right. Yeah. So this originated around the 1700s. Yeah, a lot of these
are. What the heck? Is there any new ones? Like, let's start one.
Let's start one.
Well, these are like.
Let's come up with an idiom of our own.
Yeah, maybe after the show. We'll think about it. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
That's a good idea.
I think so.
All right.
It was a common street fraud to. Back then, they would sell pigs. So they would put pigs in a bag. And
a bag of pigs. Mr. Storekeep, give me one bag of pigs.
Yep. Because, well, pigs were valuable, right? Pigs were valuable, so they would sell them by the bag. Don't ask me why. I'll take a sack of pigs. I don't get it either, but that was the thing back then.
All right.
And the street fraud involved these guys who would replace the pigs with cats. And at the time, cats were less valuable, much less valuable.
This wasn't Egypt, obviously.
Obviously not Egypt, because they would definitely be giving up their tongues. That's for sure.
Yes,
but so they would try to pawn off cats instead of pigs, without the person knowing.
So when you got home, you opened up your bag.
And guess what?
It's a bag of cats.
It's a bag of cats.
And the cat's out of the bag.
Cat's out of the bag.
Now, you'd think you'd know walking home that you'd have a bag of cats instead of a bag of pigs. Just saying.
Well,
damn it, Ethel. I said pigs. Now go back there and get me my bag of pigs.
Ethel?
Whatever.
Oh, man.
Oh. Anyway, okay, as hard as it is to believe, that's where it came from.
That's what they say.
All right. Okay, next one. To get one's goat.
I like this one. This is a good one.
So what does it mean? What do we use it for?
If you're irritating someone, annoy someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, so it comes from the horse racing. Jockeys would place goats in the stables of their horses to calm them down.
I guess
the companionship, the goats would calm the horse down and get the horse ready for the race.
Does that work on you, Cha?
Hey, man.
How's your goat doing?
My goat is like therapy.
Goat therapy. Are you into goat yoga?
No, but it's funny you mentioned that. Somebody I work with, she tried goat yoga, and she was all hyped up about it. The next day she came back to work. Say, hey, I was goat yoga, by the way, last night. She goes, not too bad. I can tell she was somewhat reserved. So what? What's wrong? Apparently the goat crapped on her back.
Isn't that part of the experience?
Apparently it was for her.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's nasty. Disgusting.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. But she kept going. Just pretended it wasn't even there.
Well, good for her. What a trooper.
Yeah.
So anyway, they'd put these goats in with the horses. So competitive jockeys would sneak in and remove the goats.
Oh, absolutely.
To, you
know. Screw up the horse's chi.
Exactly. So you would get one's goat and mess up the other person by getting their goat.
Awesome.
Now, what I don't understand is, I mean, have you seen this goat called the Damascus goat?
Oh, that is one ugly goat.
It is in the running for absolutely the ugliest animal alive.
You got to see the face on this thing.
Again, I'll put a link on the show notes.
Wait. Is this a breed of goat or is just one single goat that's just badass ugly?
No, it's a breed. It's a breed. It's a breed.
I thought you were singling out one poor little bastard.
No, his name's not
Look
Damascus.
At this goat.
He is one Damascus ugly son the of a goat. Bitch.
No, it's because it's been crossbred so many different times.
Oh, okay.
It's got this ugly, huge face.
The first time I looked at it, I thought it looked like Jar Jar Binks. I mean, that's an insult to Jar Jar Binks, because this thing is ugly.
It's uglier.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm thinking is, why would a nasty-looking animal like that make a horse more calm? Now, I'm not sure it was the domestic.
I'm pretty sure they didn't use a domestic goat.
It is one nasty, nasty-looking goat. I'll put a link for the picture of the Damascus goat on our show notes. It is nasty.
I'm warning everyone now. Brace yourself.
Oh, it's nasty. All right. Next one.
Running amok.
Yes.
Running amok.
Wild or erratic behavior. Right? Somebody's running amok, like out of control. Out of control.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
You've seen the movie, it's a mad, 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 mad world.
Of course. How many mads is that?
Oh, there's four mads.
Four mads. Yeah, I thought there was five.
No, there's four mads.
Four. Okay.
It's a mad, 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 mad world. You can check that. It's
that's five.
Mads.
I counted five.
It's a mad, 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 mad world.
That's four.
That's four.
Four mads.
I still think he's wrong.
Okay, we'll
you
check
can,
it later.
You can look it up.
All right, maybe not.
Anyway, there's a scene where Terry Thomas, remember that British dude?
Yeah.
The space between his teeth?
Yeah.
He gets chucked off the bridge by Sylvester.
Dick Shawn.
Dick Shawn plays Sylvester. Yeah. He gets chucked off this bridge. And he comes up on the edge of the bridge. His hat is soaking wet with water. And he says, I say that. Chaps run absolutely amok. Every time I hear the word amok, I think of Terry Thomas.
I was going to say, that's what makes you think of
it. It does. That's where my mind goes. Terry Thomas.
Okay, so where'd it come from? Well, it came from...
It's a mad, 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 mad world.
Well, maybe that's where it did start. Yeah, I don't think. Terry Thomas got it from somewhere else. So the Europeans visited Malaysia, and they learned of a mental affliction within the Javanese and Malay tribesmen, where these guys were part of the Amuko tribe. That's where amok comes from.
Amuko.
Yeah. So they would go out and just start on a killing spree and commit, you know, violence and be indiscriminate and run. It became running amok, the Amuko.
Was his first name Punch? Punch Amuko?
I think maybe Punch was part of the Amuko tribe.
He was inspired by the Amukos.
Insane. So Yeah, that's where it came from. The Omuko tribe, the warriors there would go out and just start killing people and go crazy.
Running amok. Okay, I got it.
Yeah. Oh, here's one. Chad, you had this one. What's this one all about?
Yeah, what's this?
Eavesdropping.
Yeah, eavesdropping. What's it mean? What do we use it?
To listen in, secretly listening in.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're not supposed to be.
Right.
So, a long time ago when they didn't have any eaves troughs on buildings or homes, when it would start raining, people would go up against a house. The houses had overhangs, but they never had eaves troughs. So to avoid the rain, they would run up against the house and stand there until it would stop. But while they were against the house, they could actually hear through the walls or through an open window or whatnot the conversation that's happening inside the home. So that's where the term eavesdropping came into it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, wait a minute. You got to explain something to me.
What?
Who cares whether they had eavesdrops or not? That has nothing to do with it.
Are we talking about the eaves or the trough?
Well, the eaves are the part that hang over the house. It's the fact they didn't have umbrellas. Who cares if they had an eaves trough or not?
No, but it's not the trough. Otherwise, it'd be called eaves trough dropping.
Eaves trough dropping.
Right? So they had an eaves. They had an overhang on the home.
Right.
So in order to avoid the rain, they went under the eaves of the home.
Right.
And there you go. So eavesdropping.
And they could hear through the wall.
That's right.
So because they were so close to the...
That's right.
To the house.
Right. So whenever you...
Whether they had eaves troughs or not. That didn't matter.
Whether they had troughs or not.
Right. Right. No troughs.
No troughs back then. Let's move on.
Because that could be mistaken for eaves trough dropping.
Yeah, because now that we have eaves troughs, nobody does that.
No. Because we have troughs.
What the
hell is happening?
Well, first off, you're not walking down the street, you're driving. Then, or you have an umbrella.
When were umbrellas invented? You're telling me they didn't have umbrellas back then?
Probably not.
It's a pretty simple invention.
I beg to differ.
So is a trough.
I beg to differ. You ever tried opening one of those things the right way?
I almost took my eye out once.
See what I'm saying?
There you go.
There you go. Eavesdropping.
All right, let's move along.
Isn't that a good one, though? Isn't it cool?
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. Okay, beeline. Chuck, explain beeline is.
Beeline. I'm going to make a beeline for the bar. The most direct, shortest route from point A to point B. A beeline.
Right.
The bar. Notice he picked the bar.
Or wherever. The can.
Yeah. The can? Why do they call it the can? Here's another one. We'll come back to that.
Yeah. Since you mentioned bees, I watched a documentary the other day about... you ever heard of the traveling salesman algorithm?
We're just reading up on that.
Yeah, I was at a party last night, and that's all we spoke about.
Yep, absolutely. What do you want to know?
Anyway, it is one of the algorithms that people are trying to figure out. So if you have, for example, if you're a traveling salesman, you got a bunch of calls to make. How do you find the shortest distance between all the points?
So, Waze, Google Maps.
No, they can't do it. Still can't do it. There's no algorithm for it. So if you have three...
I thought it was Waz.
What?
Waz?
Never mind. Go ahead.
It's Waze.
All right, go.
There's an E at the end.
Right.
All right. As you were out, go ahead.
All right. So if you have three locations, there are three possible different routes you can take.
Yeah.
If you add another two and there's five different locations, it goes up to 60 different routes.
Mm-hmm.
Six different locations, 360. You get up to 10. There are over 1.8 million different routes with just 10 locations in order to determine every possible route and then to determine which one's the shortest. For a computer to do it, doing 10 per second, it would take over 2 days to analyze that. And obviously, that's not practical.
So, I bet you're going to tell me something interesting now.
Well,
I'm not saying it wasn't. That was. But now we're getting to the good stuff, right?
Yeah. So they can't figure out this algorithm. There's actually a prize. There's $1 million prize for anybody who comes up with it.
Mm-hmm.
An efficient algorithm that will find the shortest distance between a number of different points. So they said, you know what? Let's ask the bees.
You've got to be kidding me.
No. A group of British scientists set up 5 different flower stations and put a hive in the middle. And they put little antennas on the back of the bees.
There's no way that happened.
You know what? I have got a YouTube link, and it's going to go in the show notes, so you can go and see it. It's there. Anyway, they put these little antennas on the back of bees, and then they use radar and track the bees. Within 20 trips, the bees had figured out one of the most efficient routes. Within 20 trips. Then the bee would come back and tell all the other bees what the efficient route was.
Okay. Okay, that's amazing. However, how did we know the bees are telling the other bees? Like, do we understand bee language? That's even more amazing.
I'm glad you asked that. Because there's another link in there that talks about bee communication and what's called the bee waggle.
What did you ask that for?
The bee waggle.
The bee waggle. And they've got it documented how these bees, you know, dance around all the other bees. The other bees gather around. They vibrate and waggle around. And they tell them the distance and the direction from where the sun is. This is amazing stuff.
You know what? I don't know. There's some things you put too much effort towards. And I think this is one of them. If I was driving around as a sales guy, if it was first thing in the morning, which guy's closest to the coffee shop? This guy? Okay, I'm going to see him first.
Yeah.
Then you get to lunchtime. I'm hungry. Which guy's closest to the sub shop? That guy? Okay, I'm going to see him.
Well, I'm going to make a beeline for the sub shop.
The reason there's a $1 million prize for it is because microchip companies, DNA sequencing, logistics companies, all these people want this algorithm actually, and pay big bucks for it.
You know why they're offering $1 million? Because they're that desperate, because no one else needs to figure it out because they don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that's the case.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so moving on, I'll put those links on the show notes so you can see.
So the next time you think about killing a bee,
don't
think about that.
Don't
not do it.
Well, we can do another show on the weird and wacky world of bees and how they impact humanity because it's huge.
If you guys make me cry in one of these shows,
you might. You might cry in that one. All right. Anyway. Next one.
Listen to the cat killer over here.
No, I was just joking.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that was going to come back.
I know.
So I got one. It's put a sock in it. You've heard that.
Yep.
You know what that means, right?
Yeah. Quiet down or
shut up.
Shut up.
Put a sock in it.
Be quiet.
Yeah. So the origin of this comes from the old gramophones. Like it's, do you remember the old gramophones that had the big funnel?
The RCA dog,
that's
beside
right.
The gramophone.
That's right, that's yeah. right.
Big horn attached to
that's
a
right.
record player.
And the big-ass needle sat on the, right?
Yeah.
So there was no volume control on these things. You couldn't turn it up or down. It was just one steady volume.
Oh.
So the only way they could control the volume was to stuff a sock in the horn.
So I want that turned down by 3 socks.
By 3 socks, yeah, that's about 4 clicks, yeah.
So you put one, two, or three sock volume.
That's right.
Okay.
So that's where that originated. I think that's pretty cool.
So they'd stuff socks in the horn to deaden the sound.
That's right. So put a sock in it. So when someone tells you to put a sock in it, it's telling you turn the volume down, be quiet. Yeah.
All
absolutely. Right. You know what? Perfect example of someone should put a sock in it.
Yeah.
Are whistlers. People whistle.
Is this one of your pet peeves?
Oh, this is a pet peeve. This one's huge for me. I don't know. I just see red.
What, just like whistling music, tunes?
No. These are people that, okay, for example, I'm out shopping today, and there's a guy in the same aisle, and he's whistling up a storm. No song. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Well,
whistling, in my opinion, nervously.
Give us an example. What do you mean?
Oh, when we whistle?
Yeah.
Okay, it was something like this. Right?
That's
annoying. I know
that's
what that
song
is. Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's doing that. And I'm thinking, why are you whistling, buddy? I finally turn to him and say, listen, I'll give you $10 right now if you can tell me what song you're whistling.
Wait a minute. You're in a thrift store. You should start with 2.
I probably would have got down to 2.
Yeah.
He wouldn't know. He wouldn't know because he was whistling something completely unrecognizable.
Yeah, but some people, that relaxes
them. It's a
them.
Nervous habit.
It relaxes them.
Be nervous around somebody else.
Wow.
I can't stand it.
All right, duly noted.
Sorry, mm-hmm. I just went off on a tangent
it's
there.
Okay.
But yeah, that would have been perfect. Put a sock in it, buddy.
And he would have said, what are you, from the 1700s?
No. No, I don't think that was the 1700s.
Oh, okay.
Not quite. When was the gramophone invented? I don't know.
Gramophone? Okay, now you're giving me a little bit of trivia here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be back, that's going to be back in the, what, 30s, 40s?
I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
Well, I can't be giving out bad information.
Well, you mentioned something about trivia. That's the thing we have to mention to people is that if you sign up for our website, some of the bonus material are trivia pieces.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. We're going to have... Yes, that's why we can't give up bad information here.
Well, some of the trivia will be based on what we talked about on the show.
Holy smokes. The trademark goes back as early as 1887.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why there's no
volume control. There's a phonograph, and in its later form was called a gramophone.
Wow.
Trademark since 1887.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Did they even have socks back then?
They actually called it, they didn't start calling it a record player until the 1940s.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, so there you go.
All right. Well, that's, you know, very useful information. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, I can't give up bad info.
No, okay. That may be one of the questions on the trivia.
It could be. Could be.
All right. I think that about wraps it up for this episode of
Weird and Wacky World.
Brought to you by
the Jabber Guys.
Bingo. Remember to visit our website, jabberguys.com, to subscribe to our podcast, Weird and Wacky World, and Inside Rock Jabber.